Good morning, everyone. This is Christopher Glenn with the CBS World News Roundup. 3 days and three kidnappings of Westerners by armed men in Beirut. The latest victim is an American Associated Press journalist.
Terry Anderson, who was acting as a chief Middle East correspondent for the Associated Press in Beirut, was kidnapped this morning by three gunmen armed with pistols. Forced Anderson into a green Mercedes car and sped off. So far, nobody claimed responsibility for Anderson's abduction. Second, there is no statement we know of, and we do not know where Anderson was taken.
Walid Harati, the office manager of the CBS News Beirut Bureau, which is itself operating with only a skeleton staff. Larry Pintak is among the CBS personnel who have left because of the danger. He's now in Amman, Jordan.
For the last several months, just about all we ever talked about in Beirut was the danger to us and whether there was a danger. Terry felt that there was no direct evidence yet that journalists were being directly targeted. Others of us disagreed. Some of us left. A few people stayed. Terry was one of those who stayed.
The exodus from the Lebanese capital in the face of a rebellion against the government of Amin Jamil by Christian militias in East Beirut includes American diplomats. 11 more of them were helicoptered away to Larnaca, Cyprus today to join 18 others ferried to the island the past 2 days. Syria has now moved troops and armor to the edge of Lebanon's Christian areas. The Syrian defense minister says the show of force is an effort to assist President Jamil against the pro-Israeli militia rebellion. The eye-for-an-eye war between Iran and Iraq is no less vengeful. This morning, a powerful bomb leveled a building in the Iraqi capital, sending Iraqi warplanes streaking into Iranian skies.
In retaliation for this morning's bomb attack on a residential area in Baghdad, the Iraqi Air Force has struck its six Iranian cities, and they named among the larger targets Isfahan and Tabriz. There is no mentioning of Tehran, however. We understand from a flash coming out of Tehran that also Tehran was struck.
Eric Dersmead, a freelance cameraman on assignment for CBS News, is in Baghdad. Iran claims one of its missiles destroyed the building in the capital, but Iraq says the explosion was the work of saboteurs. Rescuers are still searching the rubble of a ski lodge in Utah, destroyed by an explosion of unknown cause, looking for a man who may have been taking a bath when the blast occurred. Ann Burnett of Salt Lake City affiliate KSL has more.
The concrete-bearing walls blew outward, causing three floors of rooms at the gold miner's daughter lodge to collapse here at Alta. One person was killed, six injured, and one is missing. Alta Mayor William Levitt says the ski resort is hoping to survive.
I think we'll feel very sorrowful about what happened, but I think things will go on as it always does. And we'll be having to make a very thorough investigation and to try to determine what the cause was and learn from that so that it doesn't happen anyplace else or here again.
Officials will now spend hours sifting through the debris. Leaking propane gas is suspected to have caused the explosion. Ann Burnett for CBS News, Alta, Utah.
The cabinet doors have closed behind Raymond Donovan. He's resigned after four stormy years as labor secretary and returned home to New Jersey to face trial on fraud and larceny charges.
I'm glad to be home. I think America's a great country. I will be exonerated.
This is Fred Graham in Washington. The White House will be searching for a squeaky clean replacement for resigned Secretary of Labor Raymond Donovan, who was shadowed by scandal almost from the day he took office. There were reports never proved that Donovan and his New Jersey construction company had had long-standing connections with organized crime. And then last year, a New York grand jury indicted Donovan and nine other men on charges of defrauding the state government out of $7 million in a subway construction contract. Yesterday, when the judge called for the case to come to trial, Donovan resigned, still insisting that he is innocent and will be found so by a jury. There is no indication who the president might pick to succeed Donovan, and the decision may not come soon to give the FBI lots of time to check carefully into the background of the next Secretary of Labor. Fred Graham, CBS News, Washington.
Vice President George Bush and Nicaragua's President Daniel Ortega have exchanged a handshake in Brasilia after the swearing-in of Brazil's new civilian regime. Here's Deborah Potter.
The vice president said his brief encounter here with Nicaraguan President Ortega was an excellent opportunity in what he called a cosmetic setting for him to get a message across. A message, he said, was underlined by the smooth transition of power in Brazil from a military to a civilian government, despite the illness of the new president.
I talked about the democratic process and our commitment to democracy. I talked about if they really were serious about improved relations, a little more freedom of the press, a little less brutality to the church, a little more free elections.
Ortega shot back that the U.S. should also support democracy in countries like Chile. Nicaraguan officials met here last night with officials from other Central American countries and the so-called Contadora group, which is working toward a peaceful settlement in the region. After having breakfast with four of those leaders, Bush reported that the talks apparently were constructive. They got more discussion going about resuming the Contadora process, he said, and that's a good thing. Deborah Potter, CBS News, Brasilia.
Violence festers in the West Virginia coal fields, where workers at the A.T. Massey mines have refused to sign the national coal mining contract. Mike Wilson of Charleston affiliate WCHS brings us up to date.
A non-union coal truck was burned after smashing through a vehicle blockade. Yesterday, a loaded coal truck rear-ended a car carrying four union demonstrators. Two were hospitalized. Spokesman for the A.T. Massey mines accused the union of sanctioning the violence by putting thousands of demonstrators on the picket line. But UMW spokesman Joe Corcoran says Massey is to blame by hiring armed mercenaries.
Nameless, faceless people carrying automatic weapons, shining lights into people's homes, blocking the road in their cars. They've got a private army. I mean, literally, southern West Virginia has been invaded by a private army.
Today, the ongoing battle heads to federal court. There, a temporary injunction is to be sought by the National Labor Relations Board and the mass picketing and violence on both sides. Mike Wilson for CBS News, Charleston, West Virginia.
There's a fly in the ointment already at the renewed Soviet-American arms talks. Belgium's agreement to begin deploying U.S. missiles has the Soviets grumbling. We get more from David Andelman in Geneva.
Despite the Belgian decision to deploy the first of 48 American cruise missiles, the U.S. delegation in Geneva is apparently prepared to return to a modified walk-in-the-woods formula for reductions in Soviet and American intermediate-range missiles in Europe. CBS News has learned that the key modification in the formula is that the U.S. would not withdraw 45 Pershing II missiles already in place in Germany. The original plan, proposed during a walk in the Geneva woods by former U.S. envoy Paul Nitze and his Soviet counterpart, Yuri Kvitsinsky, provided for zero Pershings if the Soviets cut back sharply their SS-20s.
David Andelman in Geneva. Time is 10 after.